This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is real estate is still the top investment pick. But before we get into our subject here, I want to just touch base with you guys. I mean, I feel like those have been on here for a while, the old dog family here, you know, we have definitely been through a lot of interesting things over the years, and it's so encouraging. I've been hearing great stuff from so many of you. I mean, there are people that have been listening to this show for years that picked up things that they were interested in real estate investing. I mean, you've got some people who are flipping. We've got some people that are wholesaling. We have people that are just, buying single family homes and buying a bunch of them, mobile home parks. I mean, pretty much every asset class seems like it's been touched upon here. And it's so exciting to hear how you guys are doing well and doing positively. That's just a major encouragement for me. So, and that's really the nature of today's show too, is just a big encouragement for you. Before we get going too far here, I want to first off just thank you for listening. And hey, I'm my voice is getting a little bit better than the last time I talked, so that's encouraging for me. No, I don't know what that has to do with anything. But anyway, let's give you the tip of the week here, okay? Elevator pitches, or some people call it the audio business card. Okay, you may have heard about this. Might not be a new thing for you guys, but the idea of an elevator pitch is that you have a little statement that basically tells all about what you do and the benefits of it, all these things presented in one short little elevator trip with somebody. So you step in an elevator, someone says, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm doing great." "So what do you do for a living?" And then, boom, you give them your elevator pitch. And the idea is that, you know, in real estate especially, it's, or any business, you've always got something you're selling, right? You're looking for people to either get involved with you, buy your product, or invest with you, whatever it may be. It's funny, as I get older here, you know, my hair, you know, started gray and now it's like white. I'll tell you, it's like Santa Claus here. So people don't ask me that much what I do for a living, because I think they're all assuming I'm retired. But, you know, I don't know what retirement really is, but nonetheless, I don't get a lot of chances for me to tell that to somebody. I'm not just going to get in an elevator and say, "Hi, well, do you want to know what I do?" So for me, it may be a little bit different. Or those of you that that have, you know, similar kinds of crowns on your head here. Nonetheless, we have opportunities, especially if we go to like networking events, like REI meetups, or you can be at a wedding. I mean, you know, and people are going to start chatting with people, and you might have that opportunity to share what it is you do. So I'm just going to give some tips on how to do this. Now, you can really make contacts with people, and those people can actually end up being partners with you. They could be investors in what you're doing. They could rent from you in one of your apartments or houses or what have you. So it really does work. It's just a matter of getting comfortable enough to do it. You know, so let's kind of start out with this. I'll give you some pointers here. First of all, don't say you're in real estate. If you're a real estate investor, don't say you're in real estate, because the first thing they're going to think is you're a realtor or an agent or a broker. You know, they're going to think that you sell houses, you know, for a living. And so avoid, you know, saying that statement. Generally, in a real normal elevator pitch, you've got just a short period of time, maybe a sentence or two, maybe just one sentence. You know, the idea initially, you maybe have 30 seconds. And I think if you say too much, it's going to sound too salesy. It's going to sound too, I don't know. It's going to sound like you memorized it and that's what you're doing. So you want it to just flow. It's just got to be something that just flows from you. So here's kind of a good formula. You can put it together. And so it'd be, the first thing is I. You start with your, you know, with yourself. I plus an action verb, okay, then plus your target market, so who it is you're looking for. And that's an important part I'll go into in just a second. And then the last thing will be the benefit you provide and then the benefit that they would get out of what you do, okay? So that's kind of the first thing. So the first thing, I, there's not really much to say about. Now, the action verb can be a number of different things, and it depends on what you're looking for. So if you're looking, let's say you want to coach people, you know, you can say I show or I train or I help. If you are looking for people to maybe invest with you, you might say I invest, I buy, I provide, I help. You know, you can, so there's some different action verbs you can do that would work for most situations. Now, the target market is the next thing, and that would be along the lines of, who are you looking for? Are you looking for buyers? Are you looking for sellers, lenders, lawyers, busy professionals, other investors? So you have to kind of cater your message to whatever target you are. And sometimes when you meet somebody, you don't know. But if you're in an REI meeting, most of them are investors. There are other people that support investors. There might be attorneys there or CPAs or, you know, all different types of people that support real estate professionals. But you know, you have to kind of think of who they are and if that would apply to them. Some people, even if you meet teenagers, you know, you might, maybe you're a wholesaler and you say, you know, I provide opportunities for teenagers to make lots of money on the side. And they would be the kind of people that would go up and down streets looking for empty houses, yeah, and vacant houses, you know, homes with weeds growing up all around them and so forth. So, you know, and you pay them for the houses that they bring to you that you end up buying. And I mean, there's all kinds of people that you might need somewhere along the road. And then the benefit, of course, is, you know, I help people to create passive income. Okay, so that's kind of the benefit of what I do. But then what's the benefit to them? I show busy professionals, okay, I'm picking a target market here, how to create passive income so they can spend more time with their family. So there's the benefit for them. The benefit of what I do, I create passive income. The benefit to them, so they can spend more time with their family, or so they don't have to work so hard, or so they can create cash flow through real estate, or that maybe they can generate enough income to retire early. I mean, so those are, you know, those are just some of the benefits that could be there for them. But the key thing is, don't be too wordy and don't use big words. You know, keep it simple and like the way that you talk every day, and it has to just roll off your tongue. So it's got to be something very natural to you. You know, you don't want to sound like you're selling anything. It's just what you do. You're explaining what you do. So the main thing, though, is, you know, you have to use it. You know, that's the key thing, is you have to use this in opportunities you have. You could even try it out on family members, you know, say, so I know you're getting into this real estate thing. What are you doing? And then you could, you know, try your little your little pitch on them. So here's some examples, just as a key thing here, just that you might want to take a look at. And again, you should create your own. But I mean, these are some that I thought might be very, you know, kind of for different groups here. This one, I provide real estate investors below market deals so they can save on marketing costs. That'd be like for a wholesaler, for example, somebody that maybe even flips or wholesales apartments. Or it could be somebody that does that with just houses. this is one I think it's, you know, it's a kind of a good one if you're into apartments or multifamily. It says, I help investors to generate monthly cash flow and significantly increase. Now, significantly might be too big a word for this, but this is kind of what I have right now. I help investors to generate monthly cash flow and significantly increase net worth through apartment ownership. Okay, that's kind of a cool thing, and it'll open that conversation. Or I show people how to invest in real estate and achieve financial freedom so they can retire in the next 3 to 5 years. I help investors to generate 9 to 25% returns and passive income through real estate. So, you know, there's different people you're appealing to there. Now, you might appeal to a passive investor. Maybe it's somebody who is a busy professional who doesn't have time to, you know, to deal with landlord tasks and all that stuff and even look for properties. But they might want to come alongside somebody and partner with them who does that so they can invest in your project, get the benefit of the return, but they don't have to do any of the work. So especially for people that don't have a lot of money to get started out with, if you can find people like that early on, they can be an amazing asset to you to be able to fund the deals you have to do while you do the legwork. Yeah, that's just something to think about. Put, you know, if you get a chance, put your real estate pitch together, try it out, pitch it, you know, use it on different people to see how it goes and how natural you feel doing that. But it really can make a difference because you never know when you're going to meet somebody that might all of a sudden, you know, hear what you say and say, wow, that's really interesting. I would like to talk to you further. And, you know, that opens up the door to being able to, you know, possibly work with that person in the future. So anyway, let's get on to our next topic actually for the day. Real estate is still the top investment pick. Now, the coronavirus pandemic has made all of us a lot more familiar with our homes, right? We've been spending a lot of time there. But it also throws up a great number of questions sort of over the future of, you know, just the real estate market in general, the, you know, properties and what's going to happen here. Now, while global markets were thrown into turmoil in the early days of the outbreak, the property market, broadly speaking, has remained resilient. As of April 1, the median U.S. house price rose 8% year on year to hit $280,600. So this is in April. And so it showed a significant increase over the previous year. So there's still growth going on there. Home prices are still pretty strong right now. And for rentals, surprisingly, and here we are, you know, in our third month here, and rental income has not declined that much. There, you know, we thought, oh my goodness, everybody's going to just not pay their rents. And in fact, it has not really been that significant at all. I don't know if you listened to Monday's show. We had Michael Becker on, who is just an amazing investor. He's got over 6,000 units. And he was sharing how they were very concerned at his company whether or not they were going to get hit really hard with a, you know, lower occupancy or lower percentage of rent payments coming in. And he saw just a really slight decline, but nothing real significant at all. It was pretty amazing. And most people I've talked to, it's been the same thing. Our project in Irving, Texas, just a couple percentage points. So it's really, really not as significant, at least at this stage. Now, depending on what states do and how it goes nationally, I mean, you know, things could change. But right now, real estate is very strong. Now, here's the good news for those of you right there that might be a little discouraged about real estate investing. This is the good news here. Real estate continues to rank as the top investment pick for the majority of Americans. So investors, people that have portfolios and stocks and bonds and savings accounts and gold and all these other things, 35% of Americans, okay, pick real estate as their top choice, ahead of stocks and bonds, which is about 21%, savings accounts at 17%, gold at 16%. So what does that say to you? I mean, it says that you are in a great spot if you're an investor, because people still believe in real estate, and it's not only is it something that survives, you know, these kinds of economic times, but it's still something that produces and a good return. So buying a home is often seen as one of the most important and prudent financial investments you make, you know, whether it's your home, your personal home, or an investment home. During times of economic distress, that conventional wisdom can be thrown into question. The 2008 global financial crisis, which originated in the property market, was a major knock on confidence. However, financial experts broadly agree that the downturn will not hurt housing in the same way. And we're talking about the downturn that we're in. In most recent recessions, and this is a quote from Dhruva Arora, the CEO of digital wealth manager Seif, in most recent recessions, the property market has either remained largely resilient or it has only impacted across certain real estate sectors. And we'll get into that in just a second, which ones have been hit harder than the rental market, for example. Notwithstanding the short-term difficulties of conducting things like in-person viewings, that means that now remains a reasonable time to think about buying a home once cities and states reopen. So, you know, that's been one of the challenges for realtors. But certain markets like Austin and parts of the Carolinas and others, you know, the realtors have found their way around that through video showings and all kinds of different things. And they're actually increasing right now in sales. It's amazing how people are, you know, coming to overcome these things. It's awesome. With interest rates slashed in a bid to stimulate global economies, the cost of borrowing has become cheaper, which could make mortgages more affordable for those with, you know, maybe inadequate finances. The same goes for refinancing a current home. Trent Wilshire, economist at Australian property site Domain, said that could encourage more people to get back out into the market. It is already starting to happen in Australia, where lockdown measures are easing, he noted. Transactions will start rising again in coming weeks, but are still likely to be sluggish compared to late 2019, early 2020, he said. We've already seen a pickup in recent weeks, with new for sale listings rising the past few weeks and rising inquiries on his website, Domain, from potential buyers. That said, the nature of the coronavirus pandemic remains uncertain, and it's important to look into the specifics of the local and national market of the city in which you're looking to buy. Now, rental properties remain a strong investment because it can offer a good source of passive income via rental payments and capital growth through price appreciation. It can also offer an alternative route into the property ladder for first-time buyers who are unable to buy in their preferred market. Those fundamental attributes remain true in the current climate. Indeed, the economic slump has likely exacerbated existing trends, which have priced many young people out of buying, especially in an inflated renter's market. The best investment opportunities will be in those places where job growth is strong and the labor market is the least damaged. Now, so those are places like, you know, Texas, huge growth going on, Florida, other places that have a lot of people moving into them. That offers opportunities to those in a position to invest. However, with the global economy and record unemployment, the renter's market has been impacted as well, right? So that's a huge factor that you have to think about. Prospective landlords should be cautious that some tenants may struggle to make their payments. Landlords may have to build in new checks and balances as they assess potential tenants and may even want to consider sort of new policy like leases that are a six-month period or even month-to-month lease terms to attract good tenant prospects. So you may have somebody, for example, that's on unemployment, they're getting $800 a month or $800 a week, I think, on unemployment, but they have a strong work history. So you know that they're going to go back to work, or maybe it's even in a profession that you know is coming back online soon. they might not want to tie themselves down to a one-year lease. So it's a good tenant, though. And so you, to attract them, you might want to say, hey, let's do a month-to-month thing. Let's see how it goes. And when you get your job back, boom, you know, just jump right into it. So there are things you might have to do to be a little flexible here. David Leibowitz from Global Market Strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management says, it's all going to be about location. The best investment opportunities will be in those places where jobs are strong and the labor market is the least damaged. As with residential homes, rental properties suffer the same logistical hurdles right now in terms of property showings and processing sales. So, the struggles that realtors are having getting people in to show them houses and even having open houses, which is a fundamental basic for a lot of folks in, that are realtors. We also, a lot of people want to see the apartments or see the homes that we're renting before we can show it to them. So I think that a lot of that's lightening up, and I think a lot of people are able to get around that. But we can also do video showings too. But I think people want to see it, walk around it, check out the neighborhood, and all the other aspects. Now, commercial real estate, which encompasses the hard-hit hotel and retail sectors, potentially poses the biggest risk for investors. So far this year, the commercial real estate market has fallen almost 28%, with hotels and resorts and retail spaces down 48% and 40% respectively. Now, SIFE's CEO, Dhruv Arora, said that the drop-off will have some time to correct. That recovery is likely to be gradual, or U-shaped rather than V-shaped, as economies embark on phased reopenings. However, where there are downsides, there are also opportunities. As always, there will be investors who look at the long-term potential of these real estate sectors, he said. So sectors with strong fundamentals, such as industrial, residential, now so this is on the commercial side, industrial, residential, and specialized real estate show particular signs of resilience. Meanwhile, China, initially at the forefront of the outbreak, is now leading the charge on economic reopening, and it offers some clues as to which sectors thrived under the pandemic. Now, chiefly healthcare and logistics. So that means healthcare-related residential, if you were to combine them. So healthcare and residential, things like senior living, will be one of the strongest sectors, as is evidenced by REITs that are purchasing numerous senior living facilities across the U.S. at this time, still in the midst of the pandemic. We still see value in direct real estate as a source of income, and more broadly as a portfolio diversifier, said David Leibowitz, Global Market Strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, highlighting direct purchases and real estate investment trusts as some of the best options. We believe it's about combining REITs and direct real estate, particularly given that REITs provide greater exposure to more forward-looking sectors, he said. Certain sectors that are very good and very strong, and so you want to know where to go. You don't want to buy a hotel right now, you know. There's real uncertainty in that space, and as to where that's going to go. But there are other people that say, hey, you know, when hotels come back, I can get some great deals right now. Again, it depends on what kind of risk you want to take. Now, I tend to be very conservative and only go in the directions that I see, you know, as positive a return as possible in light of all the market factors. So before embarking on any financial investment, real estate or otherwise, it's important to get the foundations right. Now, typically, financial advisors recommend setting aside roughly 3 months' salary in cash to tide you over in the case of an emergency. However, in the current economic environment, I personally would recommend doubling that to 6 months. I think that's just a safer bet all around. I would rather err on the side of conservatism and be able to oversee all the bumps that might come my way than to take undue risks. Now, there's a personal finance expert, Ramit Sethi, and he says an emergency fund is money saved for unexpected expenses. It gives you the peace of mind knowing you have a hedge against the worst financial disasters. Now, you know, we do that with our properties as well. We have reserves there. Should something like this happen? Well, let's say maybe the rents didn't come in. In fact, none of them came in. You know, you want to be able to have enough capital to be able to carry you until things can turn around. So, yeah, that's just smart planning. Additionally, it's always important to set aside extra funds for unexpected capital expenditures as well, and to cover the legal and transactional costs associated with buying and owning a rental property. You've got a property and you've still got people living in it. If the plumbing just totally goes foul and you have to replace it, I mean, totally replumb the place, for example, or electrical or whatever it may be, something costly, you know, there's a major storm and hail destroys your roof or whatever, you've got to have those funds in hand because you've got people living there. So you've also got to have that backup money to be able to do that, because, you know, the banks might not be able to cover you in times like this. So you just, again, it's part of good planning. Well, anyway, that's it for today. I hope that encouraged you more than anything else, that real estate, especially in the rental property side of things, is a great place to be right now. And, boom, we should keep moving forward. And I think that there, even though prices haven't come down that much, they may, and there could be some good opportunities out there. But if not, you keep moving forward. And if you're acquiring, keep acquiring. I think that there's going to be some amazing things. And in the interview I had with Mike, he also talked about, you know, 10 years from now, he sees properties, you know, tripling in value from what they were, you know, prior to the COVID. So I think that we've got some great opportunities there if we don't get discouraged and we just keep moving forward. Remember, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled Real Estate is Still the Top Investment Pick. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.